Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. It was Sir Walter Scott who wrote the now famous lines, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we first practice to deceive. If only he had access to the digital paper trail that we now leave, he'd find that web quite easy to untangle. In fact, it's now simpler than ever for your spouse to find out exactly what you're up to." Dow Jones Newswire reporter Veronica Dagger writes about it in the Wall Street Journal today, and she joins me now. Veronica, thanks for coming on the program this evening.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So did reporting on couples that are lying and hiding things from each other give you a new perspective on married life and what it can lead to?
Yeah, it did a little bit. Yeah, I was really surprised. I knew, you know, people weren't always the most forthcoming with their spouses. Maybe when it comes to purchases, you always hear stories of people hiding little credit card purchases or purchases of, makeup or candy or something from their spouse that they don't want to let them know about. But the extent of what folks hide and the ways they're hiding it really did surprise me. I mean, some of this in this reporting, we found out people were hiding, you know, millions of dollars in secret accounts and secret businesses and whole other lives. So that was somewhat shocking.
So how are people going about, let's start with money. How do they go about hiding money and how does that information get uncovered?
Yeah, there's all different ways they can hide money. So electronic media technology is making it easier. So some people are hiding money in secret PayPal accounts. And so they're setting up these PayPal accounts and they're funding them and they're not telling their spouse about them. And then they're using the money for various reasons. Sometimes they're using the money to, you know, help support a girlfriend or a boyfriend. So that's one way they're doing it. Another case is of people, you know, dealing drugs and having a whole drug business through text messages. So that's another way some folks are hiding some money. In terms of the way some people are finding this stuff, some of it's real basic. There's forensic accountants and data forensics experts, but some of the stuff they're doing, regular people can do too. Sometimes people are finding this just through basic Google searches, searching around on the internet about their spouse, and they're finding hidden assets. They're finding their spouse owns real estate they didn't know it existed. They're finding, in one case, someone had told their spouse, I sold the business, but it's not worth any money, and I didn't get anything for it. And a simple internet search found that, in fact, the business was sold, but it sold for millions of dollars.
No, it's no secret that there's now monitoring software that is available. Yeah. Spouses can certainly put that on a computer. Is there any legal issue there, or do spouses have the right to monitor and see what kind of activity their partners are up to?
Yeah, so the legality on all this is still being worked out. It's still very much a gray area. In terms of being able to say black and white, you know, what's legal and what's not legal, there isn't such hard and fast rules at this point. Really varies from state to state, sometimes even what's from court to court. So generally speaking, it's hard to make any general statements. But spouses are doing it. They're installing this keylogger software, which you mentioned, to track their spouse's every move on the home computer. Sometimes they're sending the keylogger software through an email, and it downloads because of a virus, and they are able to track their spouse that way, and the spouse doesn't even know it's on their personal machine. So there's so many ways they can install these sort of softwares and these devices to track their spouse, and the spouse may not even know. Some people are also installing GPSs in their spouse's car, throwing these mini GPSs in their spouse's purses or briefcases, and the spouse doesn't even know they have it on them.
I'm talking to Veronica Dagger, Dow Jones Newswire reporter. You can find her article on how spouses are tracking each other electronically at Wall Street Journal. That's WSJ.com. So, Veronica, in the article, you note that experts say that many people assume that they have permanently deleted an email or a Facebook post, but they're actually mistaken. Those can be found. How exactly is that done?
Yeah, so people don't realize that. They think just because they hit delete, it's gone forever. But the way our computers work, lots of times it's not gone. Even if you deleted the email, it can be found somehow, especially on a computer. If you're using a computer, you can search the hard drive. There's ways that forensic data experts can find the email. So it's never really truly deleted. So that's something to keep in mind. Even if you can't find it, it's still out there most likely. They're also searching smartphones as well and text messages. So some people may think they deleted their text messages. In certain cases, you can subpoena the cell phone carrier and ask for the text messages. Sometimes the cell phone carriers keep them for a certain amount of days. Sometimes they delete them, but there's also software that lets you recover those messages in certain cases. So everything you think is gone isn't really gone. Same thing with Facebook. Facebook, you know, you can still recover some of those old postings. And also, just because you think you're no longer friends with your spouse and they're no longer seeing your Facebook page, it doesn't mean other people aren't reporting to them what's going on. And if it's out there in the public sphere, you know, they have every right to tell your spouse that you're divorcing what's going on with you.
What about these smartphones? Because obviously there's a lot of information on there. How are there ways to get through password protect features?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there is, you know, and again, with the legality of that, you know, that's really still being sorted out. I mean, generally, if something's password protected and belongs to your spouse and you don't know the password and you hack in, most likely that's illegal. However, there's been cases where there's been exceptions. So again, it's hard to say black and white. But if something is, and also this is somewhat general, but if something is on a family plan and it's in the family's home and it has no password, it might be a little easier for the other spouse to get that phone searched and to see what's on that phone. And in some cases, that is, again, finding people, you know, finding hidden assets. It's finding spouses have girlfriends or boyfriends they didn't know about. In one case, it stopped a hitman from taking out someone's husband.
Yeah, well,
of stuff is pretty wild.
You write about that story, in fact. It's a man who found his wife's phone that she left while going on vacation. How did that unfold exactly?
So he had suspicions that she was having an affair, and he was suspecting that, I suppose, for a while. You know, and a lot of these forensic, you know, experts tell me, usually by the time a spouse calls them to say, you know, hey, I have a kind of suspicion about my spouse, can you check something out for me? Usually they say, you know, the marriage is probably pretty well on the rocks and probably going to end. So that was sort of interesting, which it didn't get included in the story. But one of the things they said, you know, he had a suspicion that she was having an affair, that the phone was on a family account in his name, you know, so technically it was his property, it was in the family home, so making it even more in the clear in his case for him to go ahead and search it. And so he's like, you know, let me see what else, you know, let me hire someone to see what they'll find. He was really only expecting to find that his wife was seeing another man. Like, he wasn't expecting nearly any of this. And then, you know, the expert searched through the phone and found this whole other life. She was a drug dealer. She had multiple boyfriends. She went to sex clubs. And she had, you know, she was ready to put a hit on this guy. So, I mean, literally, his instinct that something was really seriously wrong with his wife was really well-timed, because, you know, he prevented his own homicide in this case.
Now, that's an extreme case, obviously.
That is extreme, right.
But in terms of the story itself, did it leave you thinking that maybe it's not worth going down this road to begin with?
In terms of going down which road, getting married?
What, in this kind of investigative approach towards your spouse and snooping around on what they're up to?
You know, it just seems like a lot of work to do all this, and to hire someone, it could get pretty expensive as well. I think one of the experts said at the end of the story, which I thought was a really good point, and it's just like, before you go through all this and you get all these paranoia and suspicion and you're doing all this digging, you know, just talk to your spouse. Just try to, I suppose, ask some questions and work things out and see what happens. Go from there first. Because maybe there is a good explanation. You don't know. But it's worth communicating first before things get to this point. I don't think things happen like that. I mean, I'm not a therapist, but I don't think things like this happen overnight. I think it's probably a culmination of years that people start acting like this. So I would imagine if you suspect something, you know, talk about it early on. Don't let it culminate to the point where that extreme example that we talked about, where someone's trying to, for goodness sake, put a hit out on their spouse. It's just crazy.
Well, it sounds like in a lot of cases, too, these are basically pending divorces, if not cases where the divorce is in process.
Right. I mean, they're at all different stages. Some are in process. Some are, you know, haven't even filed for divorce yet. Some are already in the system. So it really depends on what's going on. I mean, one of the other common threads was, you know, a lot of these people tend to be, it goes across the income spectrum. So it's not just the really rich who are doing this. This is just some middle class people doing this as well. But one of the common threads, which I don't think I did speak about in the story, but what was interesting is a lot of the folks that are doing this tend to have their own business. Because if you have your own business, it is a lot easier, generally speaking, to cook the books or to hide assets and kind of create accounts and have a little bit more control over this sort of thing. So that was an interesting point. And another point is that, you know, we're talking about divorce here. We're talking about hiding an asset from your spouse. But, you know, let's be honest, we're hiding assets from the government, too, in these cases. That's what these people are doing. It's not just they're trying to avoid taxes as well. So people are doing this across the board. And divorce is just one aspect of who they're trying to not pay, so to speak. They don't want to pay the higher spousal support or child support, but they also are trying to get away from paying the government as well. So that in itself isn't very shocking, it seems to me.
Veronica Dagger, Dow Jones Newswire reporter. You can find our article on Wall Street Journal. That's WSJ.com. Veronica, thanks for joining us this evening.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Okay, we're coming right back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.